right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Sussman, and you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Thanks for tuning in, and every week, as you know, I have conversations with various cutting-edge thought leaders, people who were sent to me by various means, some people I happen to meet in the circle I travel in, and sometimes a publicist emails me, and sometimes somebody just shows up, and that's the way life should be, in a way where we just be ourselves, and then people are drawn to us, and we're drawn to them, and sometimes that connection makes a splash, and that's who I have with me today, Steve Gutzler. And I just threw that in, the word splash, as we were talking offline. That's his new book, Splash, 10 Remarkable Traits to Build Momentum in Life and Leadership. And he's a spiritual teacher, an inspirational speaker. He's spoke to lots of corporate groups. He has various messages. And let me read you a little bit about what's the advertisement, the blurb for Splash. In today's liked and shared and filtered world, it's easy to believe that everything we see on the surface is perfect. But is it really? When you allow yourself to listen to what's going on in your soul, are you living the life you really want? What if you could do something greater, something that truly breaks you out of the ordinary and makes a splash? Steve Gutzler did. He came out of a period of struggle and depression to live a life of momentum and meaning that truly making a splash on the lives of others. And he wants to help you do the same. This book will help you discover your own splash and create new exciting momentum around the things in your life that really matter. And that's just a great lead-in to Steve. He talks a lot about emotional intelligence to organizations, talks about unleashing the leader inside of you. And rather than going on about Steve and what he does and all this kind of stuff, why don't we let Steve make a splash and talk for himself, which he normally does. So thanks, Steve, for joining me.
Oh, Mark, what a privilege. I really look forward to this. I love your tagline, Inspire Possibilities. I like to think that I try to inspire greatness in individuals every single day. I'm privileged to do that with, I think I now have 30 coaching clients. 6 of them are CEOs, and I work with a lot of corporations, like you said, but it always comes down to that one-on-one encounter where one heart touches another, and you can kind of unleash the possibilities in that person. So you're right in my wheelhouse. I love your theme. I'm already a big fan, Mark. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much for that scratching my back. Since I scratched yours, you're scratching my back. So tell me about that. I'm just, again, back to this idea. I always kind of think that we teach what we want to learn, and it starts somewhere. And when I was reading the introduction, the blurb for Splash, it said you came out of a period of struggle and depression to live a life of momentum, meaning. So when was that, and what was going on in your life back then?
Thank you for asking. For a number of years, I was actually in public ministry, Mark, and which is a really interesting profession. My son's in law enforcement, and they're very similar in the sense that you get into it for all the right reasons. People look to you as a coach, a mentor, a spiritual guide, but you can kind of isolate yourself. I always felt like I was on at all times. I didn't have I guess, a balance of refilling my own life. And I didn't even recognize it. I don't know if it was clinical depression, but I got into a kind of a dark space. I was still functioning, and then became unemployed through some circumstances and went through a four-month period of unemployment, and that kind of dipped me down even further. But what was... And it looks,
now, when
it
was
like
this,
that.
Steve?
This was like 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And in the midst of that, I actually did something that I'd always heard would be a great thing to do, which would be work on kind of inside. I mean, try to figure out your greater purpose, identify some values, a code of honor, promises you want to make and keep for yourself. So I started documenting things, and all of a sudden I kind of felt like I got my mojo back. And I thought, if I could do one thing in life, it would be to help leaders go through this process I'm going through right now, and I could take them on a quest, a leadership quest. And I said, that would be a great name for a company, Leadership Quest. And I actually started my company 20 years ago doing that. And it hasn't been up and to the right, as you know, as an entrepreneur, as a sole proprietor, there's all sorts of ups and downs. But looking back, I mean, I don't have to brag about it, and there's no need to brag, but I just look back in amazement at a client list of Microsoft, the Seattle Seahawks, Pandora Radio, the Ritz-Carlton, on. And all a testimony, really, of tapping into that more authentic self and climbing out of the darkness. And so,
Steve, let me interrupt you here. Do you think that had you not gone through that was that struggle related to being unemployed, or was that before that? That depression?
Well, I think, Rick Warren says it. I love this quote. I read it in his years ago. People change not when they see the light. They change when they feel the heat.
Uh-huh.
And it took unemployment. It took having no money. It took a lot of factors for me to just honestly kind of just get down on my knees and not just pray, but just kind of peel back some layers and do the work I needed to do probably 20 years prior to that, but
uh-huh.
I got in ministry and we had three kids, and pretty soon you're into it.
Right.
So, it's really interesting. We jump into this because typically, I have to kind of tiptoe into this story if I'm speaking corporately. You've got to gain some trust before you start talking on these levels. But I'm glad you bring it up because it really is who I am.
Keep talking into the phone, Steve, because sometimes we kind of lose you a little bit here.
Okay, I'm sorry. It really has to do with who I am now and what my purpose is, Mark. So I'm very passionate about it.
No, I can't hear you.
I think I finished my sentence.
Okay, all right. So you're very passionate. And what's interesting is, as you know, I've had this show now for about 3 years. And almost everybody that has a story about being successful in their life and really passionate and engaged, all of them have had a point in their life when they more or less hit bottom, whether you want to call it hitting bottom. They're depressed. They struggled. And that seems to be the commonality of all these people that I've interviewed. It's amazing because your story is very, very typical in terms of hitting bottom or struggle,
mm-hmm.
like so many really, really successful people. I don't know anybody that's successful that hasn't had that moment of despair. So what was it? What was the first step? So what it was when you were unemployed. So then you felt the struggle. Then you got unemployed, right? Was that
mm-hmm.
voluntarily or involuntarily?
Involuntarily.
I guess it's on what level we're talking about, right?
Yeah, it was involuntarily, and it was a series of circumstances. But I became unemployed. Fortunately, I had a template. I mean, I gravitated towards a template to write out a life purpose, which was what's going to be my center, what will be the character of my life, what will be the contribution in my life and what will be the communication and story of my life. I call it the four C's. So center, character, contribution, and communication. And I just started writing those things out, and it just started flowing for me. I still have the yellow pad that I wrote out my original kind of purpose statement. A lot of it had to do with inspiring others, building a family legacy, being a truth teller, aligning my gifts and passions with what I did next. Whatever my calling would be, it had to be aligned with what I was passionate about. And I've been fortunate.
Well, what you're saying sounds like it's exactly what I say. I even have one about live from your center. What do you mean by your center? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's interesting. When I work with my clients, I just put a big circle up on a whiteboard, and I'll say, what's the center of your life? And they go, what do you mean? I go, what is absolutely vitally important to you? What's going to be your driving center? And I've had people say work ethic. I've had people say my family. I've had people say my faith in God. I mean, it's going to be different for everybody. Mine is my faith. And it's almost like, the centers cut, or the circles go out from there, right? So family first, next. Work hard is third. Leadership is fourth. And fifth is have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm doing one of those almost every day, I'm in my purpose. I'm in my wheelhouse. So,
right.
So let's go back to
these four C's. I want to kind of. So you have the center, and the next one. Tell me about the next one.
The next one is character. So what's the character? And I usually will ask people, give me your core four values. And it's really interesting process because those become the cornerstones of your life. Again, it could be work ethic. It could be the fact that you're a truth teller. It could be the fact that you are balanced. But to me, you have to identify what are those cornerstone values of your life. And if you can figure out, okay, here's my purpose. This is what I, and for me, I narrow it down to inspiring greatness in individuals. I mean, every single day, that is why I get up in the morning.
Right.
And that might be through a keynote talk. It might be through a one-on-one engagement. It might be through an interview like this. But that's my overarching purpose. But then these character components are so huge, aren't they, Mark? Because those are the cornerstones that keep us
right.
Centered and sustainable.
Right. I like to say, what do you stand for?
Yep. What do you stand for?
What do you stand for?
And,
what do you stand for?
Yeah. What? Mm-hmm.
So we have center, character, did I hear contribution?
Yeah. So contribution. So I think that is, what do you feel like now? I mean, like when I was a young kid, Mark, I knew I was a leader even back then because I would organize our neighborhood sports teams. I was kind of the class clown. I was always trying to, assemble some type of little group or unit. And I knew intuitively I was a leader. And so part of my contribution is leading others. I don't feel smarter than anybody. I don't feel better than anyone. I just feel like one of my gifts is leading, and I lead people through my influence. I lead people through getting them to their next level. And so I think people have to just say, what's going to be my contribution? I have a client who says my contribution is being like a great right-hand person. They feel a support role is –
right.
When they're in the flow, right? So
absolutely.
It could be being a homemaker that's excelling, that has a side business. It could be a teacher, I'm going to be picking up my grandson soon, and I always admire these teachers. I'm just like, wow, what a great calling. But in my book Splash, Mark, the very first trait of remarkable leadership is turning your work into a calling. And the first half of my life, even though I was in the ministry, I felt like it was a job. And I felt like I was boxed in. And I was able to utilize some of my gifts, but I just felt like it was work. I would get up on Monday and I would be thinking, what am I going to say next Sunday when I have to come up with a sermon? And I would have this pit in my stomach.
Right.
And
where would you, I missed something, Steve. Where would you do these sermons?
Oh, well, I had a church for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was a congregational pastor for a number of years.
Uh-huh.
And I was also doing some what I would call leadership kind of consulting as well. So I already had kind of I was already priming the pump in that area. But it wasn't until I became unemployed that I said, you know what, I'm just going to go full bore. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go for my true calling. And
you know, finding that calling is so, I just think it's what brings someone alive, and that's what I had to struggle with. I was a lawyer for many years. I became successful. I liked my life in a lot of levels, but there was this voice, there was this feeling inside that something was missing. And because I had been a lawyer for so long, that it was no longer a challenge, and I felt there was something more for me to do, and
mm-hmm.
that's when I made my transition from, and plus it was the new millennium, the year 2000, so I went ahead
mm-hmm.
and gave up the law practice, even though I had a young family, which was very courageous and all, some ways foolish. But I went ahead and did
mm-hmm.
it, and now it's 18 years later, and here I am talking to you. I was just,
yeah,
but I,
yeah.
I took a leap of faith, and sometimes you have to take a leap of faith. When you get that call, you have to do that leap of faith, and it takes a lot of courage and maybe foolishness and or whatever. But at some point in your life, you have to really look at, you know, what am I called to do? Or sometimes I feel like I'm being guided. And I'm sure you have that same feeling, like you're being guided and that spirit has something for you to do. It's your
yeah.
life's work. It's why you're here.
Yes, I had a potential client call me. A woman called me. I had a discovery call with a potential coaching client. And she said she's very successful in as an artist, very successful. And she said, I'm 50 years of age, and I've raised a couple kids. But my whole life has been about, nothing against this, but it's been more about my husband, my children, everybody else. And I feel like, I'm not going to, like, disown them, but she goes, I really feel like the second half, I have to follow my calling. And I said, you're absolutely right. And I go, here's the good news. Your husband and your children are going to be better off anyway. She goes, I put myself second in every decision. And I think discovering your calling, your contribution is just saying, because it's going to fit. I mean, if you're married, if you have a family, it's not going to not fit. It's going to fit. You might have to work at making it fit, but it will fit. And so I would encourage your listeners, take some time to align to their passions, their purpose, their contribution. And you're right. They're going to wake up in the morning. I'll never forget. I literally can remember waking up after I made that decision, Mark, happy.
And when was that? How long ago was that? Was that 20 years ago when you were unemployed?
Yeah, 20 years ago. Yeah, when I made the decision
yeah.
to start my business. I can remember being scared and, you know, having nervousness, and I'd have anxiety about scarcity and what if we don't have enough. But there wasn't a morning. I mean, I'm telling you, there has not been a morning that I haven't woken up, like, excited that, yes, there's a portion of it that's work, but it's enjoyable work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that comes up a lot in these interviews is the theme. Again, I think I've shared with you that one of the themes is that most people that I work with that are successful have hit bottom at some time. But the other thing is that you have to take risk. You have to take risk.
Yep.
If you want to come alive and to really embrace life, you have to take risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a risk.
You have to take a risk.
And that's where it's, I think when you get kind of that excitement back in life too. So.
And you can't put a price tag on excitement and being alive. I always refer to it as what brings you alive. And how do you just can't put a price tag on that when you're looking at, now obviously you need to pay your bills, but you might not need the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you,
mm-hmm.
you know, have a place to live and food, but you don't need a lot of all these thrills and all that kind of stuff. You don't need that necessarily. And they're nice, but what's mm-hmm. more important is to get you back and to realize, and to give yourself permission. I always, have a funny thing. I have a little video clip on my website where I say to somebody, if you're feeling a little down, to look in the mirror and smile at yourself and say, I got you, babe, to kind of to really know that you're the most important person in this universe. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you don't have anything to give to anybody else.
That's right. I like that.
And the more alive you are, the more you have to give to your family.
Mm-hmm.
Or your organization.
Absolutely. Yeah, the final C is communication, Mark. And that's going to be your story. And I think that's important, that people know, they have a sense of what their story is, where they've been, where they are now, where they're going. And that life really is a tapestry. Like, I don't regret those years of ministry. The ministry taught me so much, and I had some great years in ministry that I did enjoy. But it became a platform to what was next. It's like a couple of 3 years ago, I went to speak to a group of burn victims at this the outdoor rafting adventure. We went on for four days, and there were 40 burn victims. And I got up the first night. These are people that have burns 35% to 85% of their bodies, Mark.
Wow.
And I got up the first night, and I said, you guys have called me in to inspire you in these evening sessions after we do the rafting. I got to tell you, I'm blown away by you. Your resiliency, your optimism. And I got to tell you, I've been nervous because I've never been around burn victims. And a young man raised his hand and said, Mr. Gutzler, we never refer to ourselves as victims. We're burn survivors. And I go, wow. And what they teach a person that goes through severe burns is that they, A, are not a victim. They are a survivor. And, B, the burns do not ultimately define them. It is a part of their story. And so I always tell people, I don't regret or think, oh, I squandered 20. No, those 20 years were preparation. They were, I mean, how many people do you know that get up before a group of every single week and deliver a message? It prepared me to get up before audiences and keynote speaking and not be nervous.
Right.
I've been doing it my whole life. And so you got to know your message and your story, and everybody
right.
one of your listeners has a powerful story to tell. And
absolutely.
That's what's, I mean, your podcast promotes that, and it's not about even your guests as much as the people that are listening. We want to unleash their possibilities, right? We want their story to get out there.
So how do people, Steve, we're kind of running out of time, and I want people to know about how they can get a hold of you and how they can get your book, how they can, if they want you to speak to their group and all that kind of stuff. So let's get into that. How do people get a hold of you?
Well, I've got a nice website, It's Steve Gutzler. It's my name, SteveGutzler.com. And
you want to spell that?
Name, yeah. So, Steve, and you can spell that, but Gutzler is unique. It's G-U-T-Z-L-E-R.
Good, I got it right.
Yep, G-U-T-Z-L-E-R, SteveGutzler.com. And I've got like four primary keynote presentations and workshops that we do in corporate and businesses at all sizes. I do coaching for predominantly, executive leaders, but some are rural and really wanting to go to that next level. That's a great spot. And the book is going to be, I don't know when this will air, my book will come out September 21st. It will go live on Amazon. They can get it on Amazon. And just small, it's my favorite kind of book. It's small, 120 pages, very inspirational.
I love small books.
I do too. I read them on airplanes. And the 10, they will like the 10 traits. I think they build on one another to help build some momentum. So I'd be privileged to have any of your listeners reach out to me for sure.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and this show will be aired this Sunday night. And then
okay.
You'll get a link probably on Tuesday that you can share with your listeners.
Today's the
12th. You'll probably get the link on the 19th. And I'm going to have that show posted Sunday night. So what about anything else you want to share with our listeners? I kind of got, usually I ask my guests what inspires them, and I think that's what we've been talking about the whole time
we've been in this conversation. Yeah, I think in closing, I would just say if your listeners can take a little bit of time, I remember reading an article that says that most people spend more time planning a one-week vacation than they do planning their life. And I know that's true of me. I mean, if we go to Napa here, if I go anywhere, it's like, okay, get on the internet. We're gonna plan this thing out. And if you could take, if think about this, if your listeners could take a half a day and go through those four C's and just document, start there, just document those. And I bet out of that they will create some new, fresh goals that will inspire them to be on their way. It doesn't have to be a week. It doesn't have to even be a full day. But spend 2-3 hours and start thinking about a life plan. And see where God can take you. I mean, you want to talk about the endless possibilities. It's all right there.
So let's just review it kind of at the end of our show. First of all, I want to thank you for being my guest. It's always an honor to have people on my show like yourself, and to thank you for the work you've done and your standing for what you believe in and for kind of going for answering the call. That's really what I want to acknowledge you for answering the call. And let's just go over those four C's just to leave our listeners with your four C's are centered, right? Finding your center.
Yep, absolutely.
Your character.
Your character, and if they can put down, I call them their core four, the top four values.
Uh-huh. Your what calls you? Did I get that right?
Yeah, the third one would be your contribution. What do you feel like is your great contribution in this one and only life? I mean, we get one shot. And then the communication of your life. It's kind of like, what's your story about? And don't be afraid to tell your story. And even some of the pain, I used to kind of hide the fact I was unemployed. I used to kind of hide the fact I went through depression. I don't know if it was clinical or not. I could care less, but I was depressed. I know it lasted for up to a year. And that has been such a wonderful conversation piece for me, where people go, well, I'm depressed right now, how can you help me? And often
right.
I'll give them the four, often I'll just say, well, try the four C's.
Wow, I think this
but
is
Mark,
it's liberating when you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mark, I want to
stop,
thank you
when you
for,
stop hiding, it's liberating.
Yeah, for
go
sure.
Ahead, go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you for what you do and all the lives that you've touched and continue to touch, and because you're obviously living your four C's, and your broadcast is such an inspiration. So thank you for the invite and the privilege of being with you.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. And as I said, I will send you a copy of my book, The Soul of Uncertainty, and I'll just get your information. I'll just email you, get your address to send it to. So thanks again for being the guest on the Inspire Possibility Show.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.